Hello, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, and welcome back. You know what? I've been saying all along that what we do or what we look to do is to help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Now, recently I've been thinking about design and all sorts of design, from the way you run your business or the way you set up your business to the technology you use, websites for being, you know, your storefront, the way you actually do your work, the tools you use to do your work, or how about this, is the way you get your work, or how about this one, the way or the place you do your work. It has been suggested to me that part of your company's brand exists in the work environment, that business design and your brand are intertwined in like a magical dance, expressing exactly who you are and what you stand for. As people, your clients and employees know it. That dance either makes you more efficient or not. It is part of your living, healthy space, the place that you work in, and with healthy tools to help you get things done. And it could create a sense of wanting to be in that space or not. So, for example, new hires might not want to work for you if they get the wrong vibe from your place of business, the space that you exist in. Clients may find a disconnect when you represent yourself out in the field and they visit your place that is not quite the same type of place that they think you exist in. Maybe they mention it or maybe they don't. Sometimes they do business with you, sometimes they won't. The workspace has become a living, breathing entity that is sort of transportable at a click of a button. Case in point, have you ever gone for coffee at your favorite cafe thinking, you know what, I'm going to sit and relax, and only to get there and see that every single table is filled with one person with a laptop getting things done. They are living and breathing outside the traditional workplace, and it's all part of your business brand. Now think about it. They're sitting at a cafe, and that's part of your business brand. Then there are healthy spaces that are designed to give you a living office, allowing you to breathe the air, tune into the needs of the employees and customers that create maximum satisfaction, customer satisfaction. I guess what I'm saying is all part of your business strategy, and you need to ensure that it is intact. So you can sort of guess what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about what I'm calling the living office, which now I sort of took off a website, and we're going to find a bit more about that and the impact on your business with my guest, Shelley Warner, and I hope I got that right, Shelley, principal of Contemporary Office Interiors, and Lindsay Drew, Western Canada's health care manager for Herman Miller Healthcare. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Richard. And I would just like to say this at this juncture. Would you like a job? Because basically you have completely expressed what we say every day and what we live every day. So, you know, if this whole radio thing doesn't work out, you know,
I got a place I can
feel
go.
Feel free to call
someone
me.
Someone to communicate with.
You've told the story. Absolutely.
Well, gee, I wonder what we're going to end up talking about.
Well,
now,
if there's more details, luckily for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm good because I don't have the details. I guess, you know, I always start off with a very similar question. I guess Shelley will point it to you first, is just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, happy to do that, because my background is interior design. I graduated from the University of Manitoba, homegrown girl, and I spent years practicing and then decided one day that a better way to live would be to create work environments through furniture and the placement and supply of the product. So I'm an interior designer by profession, but work every day in the world of furniture and what it can do for people to improve their lives. So that's generally a professional bio about me.
A little bit. Now, I noticed on your bio that you got a gold medal.
Tell
me about the gold medal.
Oh, my God. And it's the Olympics and everything.
Yeah, it's perfect time.
And I sometimes think to myself, I would like a gold medal in the business Olympics. But in fact, I was interior design gold medalist in my year. And all that really means is that I got the
highest grades.
Marks. Okay. All it means is I studied a lot.
So I'm hanging out with a brain. Is that what you're telling me?
It could be, yes.
Yeah, I
can solve problems.
She doesn't hide her nerdiness very well, does she?
No, she doesn't. Lindsay, how about you? Tell us a little about yourself.
Myself, I am also originally from Winnipeg. Grew up here as well in Windsor Park. Now I am the Western Canada Healthcare Manager for Herman Miller. And if you don't know Herman Miller, we are a company that is built on research and design. Many people know our Aeron chairs or the Eames lounger, but they might not know that we also have a healthcare division where we take that same research and design and we apply it to healthcare equipment, carts, storage.
All sorts of things. So you're integrating also the healthcare stuff too.
That's right.
Yeah, both. Yeah, and I find it sort of quite interesting because I've had sort of the opportunity to read up on both your websites and everything. How do you guys connect? Like, what is the connection between both of you and your companies or the work that you do?
Well, it's fairly simple. We as a division in Manitoba of Contemporary Office Interiors. It's our job and to go out, meet with the end users, and do the practical part. In other words, we interview the clients, we find out what their brand is, we express it in their environment. But more importantly, we bring the research and development insights from Herman Miller, who is the manufacturer of the furniture, to the end user. So I work with the end users and my team every day to create their brand and to reflect working trends in their offices. And Lindsay, it works with the manufacturer
side of the equation. Now, is that a supply chain relationship?
It is, yes. Yeah. But it also comes full circle in that what we also look at is we align in philosophy and in research and in really bringing to the market ideas and new ways of looking at how we work and how we're healthy and how we heal and how we live. And so those things are all encompassing. And so when we really look at it as though we really bring a different way of living, working, healing, and sometimes we leave furniture behind.
Exactly, that's what I say. You know, I'm not even in the furniture business. I'm in the idea business.
The idea business
and the partnership with Herman Miller. They bring the R&D, and I'm bringing the product. But at the end of the day, we are united in coming to the workplace with free ideas about how to improve your life.
Oh, well, that sounds good to me. I mean, I like the idea of anything in terms of, I don't know about free ideas, but ideas of how to improve your life.
What I always say is that brilliant ideas are free because they are what we deal in. It's our stock and trade. It's what we come with.
Yeah.
We are passionate about what we do. And I tell my team, and we believe we invent the world every day by improving people's lives. And I know it sounds like a Hallmark card. I swear it does, but it isn't. It's real.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is, and maybe we'll get into this afterwards, but there's this whole thinking right now that the largest or the biggest asset to any organization is the gray matter between people's ears, right? And so maybe that's sort of what we're getting into here, that you're creating creative development and creating different ideas. This is Richard Lanning. You're listening to Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Shelley and Lindsay about the living office. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lanning, and welcome back. I'm hanging out here with my new best friend, Shelley and Lindsay. Now, Shelley is from the company Contemporary Office Interiors, and Lindsay's from Herman Miller Healthcare Team. Just before break, we started to talk a little bit about gray matter, the space between your ears. And I think, Shelley, you had something you wanted to say about that while we were on break. So why don't you share your thoughts regarding gray matter?
Well, it's an exciting concept to me, Richard, because basically the idea of how work has changed has everything to do with how people work and why they work a certain way. And you mentioned working in a cafe. And of course, we've seen this everywhere. In fact, we've marveled how some of these cafes can even stay in business as people take up residence with one single cup of coffee for 3 hours.
Yeah, they stay there all the time. And, you know, and they're running around looking, oh my gosh, you know, I've lost all my power, and they're trying to plug the thing in. Or better yet, and I'm guilty of this too, you pack with you extra power.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
No. Well, I have a funny story about that, which is that one day I actually had broken my foot and I was standing in a cafe and I was wanting a place to sit, but I couldn't because it was all taken up with people working. And I felt like standing in front of everyone in the cafe and going, well, clearly you people are not at your offices, so do you mind if I take my coffee to your place?
Yeah, why
but,
not?
But as it was, it really resonated with me, the fact that why are people not at their work environment? What are they getting out of creating a private space in a public place? What does that mean?
Now, that's an interesting term, a private space in a public place. I think we've all done that, and especially in North America. We all know the two-foot rule, right? 2 feet between everybody, right? Yeah, right? So, sorry. Go ahead.
Privacy in a crowd.
Privacy in a crowd. So could you expand on that?
Well, sure. Because naturally, what this is reflecting is how people intuitively want to do their work. And our job as a company is to reflect that in people's work environments. And this is the news flash right here, which is the fact that a work environment should be designed to allow people to work the way they want to naturally. So in fact, creating a living office means evaluating how are people really wanting to do their work. And if it's in a cafe-like setting, maybe we create that in the work environment.
So you bring the cafe to the work environment. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I've worked in a very creative business environment. So I've worked in a lot of cafes internally and externally to organizations. So spent time in Palo Alto, California. So, hey, come on.
Right.
If you're going to hang out, you're going to hang out the right place. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Got you now.
I'm very okay. Literate.
Right.
And yes, I'm a closet nerd, as most of my friends know. But you start talking about a living office and everything. Maybe you could expand upon that, one of you, sort of give a definition around what that is.
Well, the living office is something that we actually take it on as a philosophy,
okay.
More as an overarching item, because it's what we live and breathe every day. We understand that your office is changing, and the way that it's set up on day one is going to be completely different than it is the day two. So things are going to be moved around. People are going to learn that they can move things around, that they want to work differently.
Have you ever seen the Lego video about the Lego offices and everything, that you're not allowed to be anywhere for more than 2 hours? You ever
no.
see that component?
I haven't, but I can tell you.
That sounds like our office, though.
But I can tell you one thing. I've recently designed and been involved with supplying of the furniture and creating a living office with a local company, 50 people, and they decided that nobody would have a desk. Everything would be completely unassigned. And you could have a choice, not of, say, 50 of the same desks, but 50 work experiences. So some people would have an opportunity to sit at a cubicle. Some people would have the opportunity for a height adjustable desk. So the environment itself allowed for you to journey through each day how you wanted to work. And that's the max. I mean,
so
that's
the environment itself is more organic.
Mm-hmm.
Is
absolutely.
That a better
and
word
think
to
about
use?
How
I
you love it. Actually yeah. think differently when you're seated in a different position, or you're having a conversation and you're standing, or you're leaning, or you're quickly passing by someone. All of those different environments and situations, they have a different thought process to them. So you actually interact differently.
You use your brain differently.
Exactly.
You do. I used to years ago. I always like to share my own little stories too. I can't help myself. I used to have walking meetings, and this was before it was trendy.
Like
I was ahead of my time, and initially my staff, they hated me for it, right? But an interesting thing started happening. They actually became more productive, and some of my staff lost weight, and they weren't even trying, and it just became sort of part of what we then did. You'd have to hang out with me, know what I like to think about and everything. But anyway, but this is about you guys. Sorry about that. So we're talking about living office and everything, and I was talking earlier a bit about your website, and I noticed that there's a bit of a definition that says it's more natural and desirable workplace to foster greater connection, creativity, productivity, and ultimately greater prosperity for all. That was sort of how you guys defined that, you know. Can you take that a little bit further with some examples or something?
Well, it's about engagement.
Okay.
And what does engagement means is really taking the core, the heart of a person, and having them believe that in their role as part of the collective, and see their role as part of fostering profitable growth for their spirit as well as the business. So it's a win for everybody. And this is really the essence of the living office, is creating an environment that is respectful of these variety of activities that people do in the course of the day. And they don't all happen at your desk. So being able to recognize, for example, what we call provision for collision.
Okay, what's provision for collision?
It means exactly what you're talking about, that a most effective meeting doesn't always happen at a meeting table with people sitting around and booking a meeting and having a big, huge... Sometimes it's an accidental run into someone at the water cooler or the whatever, the coffee bar.
In the hallway.
In the hallway, and just say, hey, you know that thing we were going to talk about? And so the living office provides opportunities for collision, purposeful or not. Maybe you have a standing height table somewhere and you go, hey, let's just stand here for a couple minutes. More work gets done in 3 to 5 minutes than the entire hour they booked for the meeting.
Yeah, in terms of what the meeting is. It's funny you would say that, because there's lots of training programs about hosting a better meeting. And a lot of them, I think, hopefully I don't get in trouble for this, basically say have less meetings.
Definitely. You know? I think everyone in life should have less meetings.
I think it's less traditional meetings and thinking what it really
means.
That's right.
Yeah. But think about, actually, those meetings are now taken up by those really short snippets where you're getting that work done. And then you have the chance to go to a different environment and think about it, marinate on those ideas a little bit, and then come back and have another short meeting. And think about how quickly that communication and that information gets passed through your company rather than sitting in a meeting room for an hour where, let's be honest, part of that time you're really not engaged in the meeting. And so you're really highly engaged in those short snippets, and your knowledge is just transferred so quickly.
Very quickly. And that sort of maybe aligns really great with the technology of today. This is Richard Land, and we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, I guess, the research around proving this all out. This is Richard Land. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we're looking to create a roadmap for your business success, career, and life success. Now, today we're doing it from a design perspective with the whole concept of a living office, its own entity indeed. And it's become very popular in today's business world, commercial world, to create spaces where people interact in a very natural form, almost organically. We're discussing this today with my guests, Shelley from COI and Lindsay from Herman Miller. Now, if you think about it a little bit, you know, what is it that you need to do? I guess people need to work together and unravel complex issues, have spaces that they can make better business decisions and establish direction and making sure they get things done. I think my guests today are actually providing us some great insight how to do that. Might have something to do with taking a structured approach, engaging your people, and transforming your business, and really allowing it to set for itself in terms of its own brand. When we return, we'll continue our discussions with my guests. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with my guests, Shelley from COI and Lindsay from Herman Miller. And we've been talking a bit about, really the living office and design and how it actually brands out your business and what it all means. So Lindsay, during the break, we were talking a little bit about the research. I had to say, you know, really, is there research? Like, can you prove this stuff out? So tell us a little bit about maybe a case study or something that would explain this all to us.
Well, we have been around for a while. Herman Miller is a leader in the industry. And we do have multiple case studies, but one of our great ones lately is called Harry's, and they're a razor company. And essentially they came to us and said, look, we have a small office, but we really want it to reflect who we are and what we do. And we're really amazing upstart companies. So we want it to be reflecting that we have a really cool culture.
And so what was the original challenge that they were having before they came to you?
They were in a tiny space and they needed to grow their business, but also at the same time recognizing that they communicate a little bit differently. So they interact in a really fast pace and they wanted to have a cool space where that reflected that they have a young staff and they have a lot of knowledge transfer and they want to grow. And so they wanted to be able to quickly talk to each other and yell at each other across the office and really have a space that sort of reflects that they have a sleek brand to them. So they wanted it to be really slick and contemporary looking as well. So they came to us for those, but also for the fact that we wanted to understand their business process as well. So we wanted to help them grow their business. And that's why they came to us, is they understood that our research, we've been doing it for a very long time with things like sensors and surveys. And we come actually even look at you at your office and see what you're doing and studies. And then we come back and we actually show you the data of what you're doing in your office. And then that helps you make decisions. Because without that data, how do you make really proper decisions?
So that's actually quite interesting, because I know working in the client world, the management consulting world, we rely on a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And often clients will say, you know, we have a ton of data, but we don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
Okay, so when we look at data from your perspective, what kind of data are you getting on these clients? Like, are you getting how many times they walk to the photocopier, or
sometimes
how many times they throw paper across the room? Like what kind of things are you looking at?
Those are both things that we actually do. We also have a program where we put sensors underneath your chairs to see what areas of the office you use the most, or what types of meetings you have in what types of rooms.
Now, that's a really interesting use of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Sensors under your chairs to know where you're actually going. See, now I'd have a real tough time with that one, because I'm known for racing chairs down hallways.
Okay, as long as there's not a phone book in the chair.
So what's really interesting about that is, what did they find out when they put sensors under the chairs of meeting rooms? They found out that meeting rooms were empty about 70% of the time, that they were completely underused pieces of real estate that could mm-hmm. be devoted back to creating a living office. And when I tell it more about that, some of the indicators that you've created one is your communal spaces.
That's quite interesting to discover that. I don't know how many square feet are on average are for meeting offices, but you go into a lot of places. I mean, you walk by the meeting rooms and they are empty. You know, mm-hmm. there's rarely a lineup to get to them. But when you need one, you need one.
But
is that fair enough to say?
What's fair is to say that people need to meet.
Okay.
But one of the indicators of a living office is smaller is better. The fact is that people are meeting 3 to 5 people in a small group, and maybe, as we talked about earlier, it's at a standing height table. And so we have a guitar pick table. We have a teardrop table. We have a table with a bar rail around it, so you can literally pony up to it
and
have
a short
meeting. Exactly. So that is what's the point of all the research is to lead you to the solution.
Now, Lindsay, you had a point around.
Well, I'd like to round back to the need for meeting rooms, because really, you know, privacy is something that it should be on demand. It's not something that you give away to a meeting space. It should really be something, and we believe this, that when you need it, you go and you get it, but it's not something that you give to a private office or to, you know, the man at the top, because it's something that's theirs. It's really something that everyone needs to share in. And with so many open office spaces, we need to create that landscape. And so we have a lot of different settings that we have to support that landscape. But the privacy on demand is really big.
I like the term privacy on demand. You guys are full of like these little snippets of these terms. I'm going to write them all down. Now, we were talking about the Harry study. Like, so what were some of the things that you did for that particular business environment that made a difference for them?
Well, for them, essentially, it was more of not only a space plan for them, really figuring out how they work well in their workflow. So how does paper, how does information, how do people circulate throughout the space? Where do they like to stop and communicate? But branding come into their space? When you walk in, how do you feel?
That's interesting, because that's connecting process and productivity with people and culture. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the flow of people, you're actually connecting literally diagrams, workflow diagrams, mm-hmm. and people entities together. That's a pretty cool.
It has to be a real partnership between people and the business. You really have to have that whole philosophy of really understanding that it's not one or the other. It's both and. And so we really try and support that in what we do.
And one of the major elements to come out of this research is the discovery, and here it is, the big reveal is coming right now. Not all work happens at your desk.
No, it doesn't.
The fact is that Herman Miller research went and determined exactly what are the job functions that people do every day. And that allowed them to disconnect them from the private office. And in liberating people from a private office and that square footage, you had a lot more to devote to community spaces, to provision for collision, because they realized that you don't need to be sitting in a private office at a desk. That's not where work is happening.
It's interesting to sort of think in terms of the mindset change, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's beliefs, values, and attitude. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like you literally would have to adjust your culture, potentially, especially if you had a culture of, well, I earn the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's mine, right?
Very interesting.
You know, and that creates a whole human resource dynamic to it, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And part of the understanding and our deep research is knowing that portion of having something that you have earned and being a part of something bigger, that also is valuable. So we don't want to take that away. We want to be able to support it in different ways, though, and say, this may not be the medal that you have, but here's other ways that are supported. So it doesn't need to be just the private office. It can be, that's a smaller square footage, but we give back to you in other ways. And usually, we do have a big change management team, usually when people see the differences in how the culture is now affected by their space, they're so much more able to see the positive and just enjoy not only going to the office, but being proud to bring other people there, because it reflects them and their brand and how they want to interact with their market.
With their market, and that makes a lot of sense. Nothing like actually having pride in the place you work.
Mm-hmm.
This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we're going to take a short break. Hi, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Shelley from COI and Lindsay from Herman Miller. And we've been having a great dialogue about this whole concept of the open office, I just call it the open office,
That's
didn't
okay.
I? Shelley,
yes.
Correct me. What was I supposed to do? The living
the
office.
The living office.
The living office. But you know what brought the open office into mind? I was thinking open spaces, right? And so I had this, you know, had this whole idea of seeing something being very airy, A-I-R.
Airy.
Not the other way because of my accent. But yeah, I was thinking so that open space. So maybe you could expand a little bit more. Like, how do you know that you've actually created one? Like, how do you know you created a living office?
Well, actually, when you come up with the term an open office, a lot of people get the heebie-jeebies because they get to mind, they call it the image of Dilbert land where you're poking, like gophers poking your head out
yeah,
of a work
yeah,
cubicle.
Yeah.
Land, you get miles of aisles. And this is the opposite of the living office.
But it's interesting that you use Dilbert as the example there because there's some great cartoons in there that
And those were
that.
Appropriate for when open office was conceived yeah. back in the 60s, it was conceived as a way of saving on real estate. And if you would pile people tighter and tighter, you would get from them yeah. more space used on the floor plate, fill in more people. Only problem was people really don't want to be that close to one another. Mm. Here's a small secret, a takeaway for you. People don't actually like each other that much. Don't put them that close to each other because it's, you're not going to get productivity out of them. What you need to do is fashion a living office that is respectful of the space people need to do their work in private, like their heads down work, but also gives them space for collaboration when it's appropriate and when it's time.
So how do you know you created a living office?
Well, okay, that's a great question. Because there's actually an answer. There's about what we call, there's six indicators. We call it pick up six. There's six ways. I'm not going to tell you all about them. I'm only going to tell you a few.
Okay.
Well, number one, I already mentioned provision for collision. So that's where you've given people, you've facilitated the ability to have spontaneous interactions because studies have shown.
Meetings on the run.
That's meetings on the run. A big heart is another way, creating communal spaces so that your organization has a sense of who they are. They get a chance to commune, to be together in a communal or community space. And that reinforces the organization as an entity, as a club that you belong to and you're a part of.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, aren't you really more proud about the things that you sort of feel like you're part of a community in?
It's very true. Yeah. I think, and also it's not about really creating a big open space that's your clubhouse. It's more about saying this entire office really serves as this incredible landscape that we're all proud of. Mm-hmm. And we do very different things, even in the small corners of the large cafe space. You have huddled meetings or you have larger meetings where you yell across the office at someone. There's different spaces and different cultures of the office are going to interact with their space in different ways.
It's funny. We have an expression in my house and it comes from me, actually. Cozy, comfortable, highly functional.
Right? Can I take that from you? I'm liking that because it's very true. If you give people a place that is intuitively and naturally where they want to be, they will do their best work for you. And if they do their best work, they will be engaged and it will result in success for your organization. Mm-hmm. And we know that. So our job and our specialty is to go into an organization, to a company, help them reflect what they actually do, not the structures.
What they
of
think
these,
they do.
And really provide them opportunities to work better. And smaller is better is another one of our taglines because it speaks to smaller group meetings where we have a table shaped like a guitar pick, as I may have mentioned. I mean, it's reflecting how people really do their work. That is the living office.
So this is part of the six keys that to knowing that you have a living office, but not all of them.
No, because you got to have a reason to call me back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, Lindsay, I know we've been talking a little bit about well-being environments. Can you expand upon that for us?
Well, Herman Miller not only has a healthcare division, but the health and healing within all spaces really does come full circle. So we have the ability to be in your house, in your workplace, where in your healing spaces, and really realizing that not just your physical space, but your cognitive well-being needs to be supported at work and in all aspects of your life. So that's why we're a little bit ubiquitous. We are everywhere. But at the same time, really recognizing that when people don't feel as though they have space to feel secure, that they know what's going to happen in that meeting space, that it's inherently natural the way they are interacting with their environment.
It sounds like you're trying to bring together mind, body, and spirit.
Definitely. Most definitely. That's when we drill down to it, that is exactly what we want to do. We want it to be a natural progression through your workday.
Well, which is ironic because we are a furniture company, but you notice I rarely mention furniture.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's not...
just twice now.
Well, Well, just I did mention it a little bit, but the point is that's not what we talk about. When I come in to talk to somebody, it's never about a thing. It's about an idea. And my what I often say is, you know how people at their office, they may have a picture of their home or their cottage. My goal and our goal as a company is that at your home, you'd have a picture of your office.
That'd be pretty cool. I have a real one. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, Lindsay, Shelley, how would they go about doing that?
Well, that's pretty easy for me because our website, www.coi.bz, that is the way to reach COI. And on that website, you can look for Winnipeg Division, and that would be how you would find me, and you would send an inquiry to Winnipeg Division at COI.
There you go. Lindsay, how about yourself? Is that
for Herman Miller, essentially we have hermanmiller.com, and if you look at the upper page of the website, there's a where to buy, and our local dealer is COI here.
Now, it sounds to me like this whole thing has a lot to do with collaboration.
Yes.
Between Shelley and I, plus, plus.
Yeah. So how do you know you have a collaborative workspace place?
Well, it's a great question because collaboration is a buzzword. It's something that people think they want, but as I mentioned earlier, they don't actually want it forced upon them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's the trick.
How do you want to collaborate when you want to collaborate.
And how do you want to do it? Do you want to do it in a lounge area? Do you want, as we talked about, the standing height tables? But more and more, creating a living office is creating those opportunities for people to collaborate. And how do they call it group space rules. That's another one of our six indicators. So you would have different ways to collaborate. Sometimes you're working on whiteboards that are surrounding you all around. Sometimes you're sitting on lounge furniture. Sometimes you're on modular seating. Sometimes you're on high top stools. There's many ways to do it.
Interesting you would say that about the whiteboards around the room. One of my favorite clients I've ever worked at, they used to have war rooms, mm-hmm. and you'd go into these rooms, and that's all they were whiteboards. And you literally would lay everything out on that, and now with digital equipment, you just take pictures of it all, erase it all, and then somebody else comes and uses the room later.
Well, like, think about the interaction.
Cool.
I mean, really, you run into a room, you spit out all your ideas, You all mash it all together on a meeting room table. How different is that interaction than, say, that meeting table was standing height or lounge height? If you were kicked back, sitting back, tossing out ideas, it's a very different interaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the collaboration type, level, speed, they're all very different and they're all very useful in different ways.
So there's a lot, and you know what? I know there's a lot more on this topic, but you're listening to Set for Success and we have to take a short break and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. I've been hanging out with Shelley and Lindsay. Now, they've already mentioned what companies they're from. Shelley's from COI, and Lindsay's from Herman Miller. And hopefully I got your company names right. Did I get them right?
You did.
I did.
You're good, Richard.
Perfect. So if you have one final thought, what might that be?
Well, my final thought would be that a roadmap to creating a successful and fabulous and inspiring office that would bring the best work out of the people that are grouped there as a team would be to talk about Herman Miller and COI as a partnership that creates a living office. And what you want is a living office that brings the best out of people every single day.
Yeah, I think basically we're all looking to bring the best out of ourselves and the best out of people every day. I want to take this opportunity for thanking my guests for hanging out with me today on Set for Success. As for the listeners, if you have a question or a thought or an idea for a show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And as usual, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.